T. Shelby Williams, and the title of his presentation is Susceptibility of Cry 1F Resistant Fall Armyworms to Cotton Express and Pyramided BT Toxins.
All right, thank you for that introduction. As mentioned, I'm going to be speaking on the susceptibility of Cry 1F Resistant Fall Armyworms, Spidoptera fugiparta, to Cotton Express and Pyramided BT Toxins. Bacillus thuringiensis, or BT, is a natural soil-dwelling bacterium that can be found all over the world. It produces a crystal, or cry, proteins that are toxic to many insects. It was first commercialized in cotton in 1996 by Monsanto as Bolgard, and is currently available as Bolgard 2 and Widestrike. Cry1F resistance was first reported in 2006 in Puerto Rico in corn. The resistance was shown to be autonomously inherited and recessive. These populations were found to be moderately less sensitive to Cry1AB and Cry1AC. In 2012, Storr et al. Published that there was no evidence that Cry1F resistance was or had made it to the United States mainland from 2006 to 2011. And as some of you may know, the fall armyworm does not possess an overwintering mechanism. Therefore, it must migrate north from the southern regions, particularly in Mexico and around Puerto Rico every year, and then disperse throughout the mainland United States from there. Now, Dr. Wong from the LSU Ag Center in Baton Rouge made a couple of collections back in the past from Louisiana, Georgia, and Florida. These yellow stars represent those collections that he made. Two populations from Rapides and Franklin parishes in Louisiana have been found to contain a little bit of resistance to Cry1F. Two populations in Collier and Hendry counties in South Florida also contain a little bit more resistance in their population. Two of those populations, the Florida and Collier, or the Collier and Hendry County populations, have shown at the bottom here, you see, they are showing quite a bit more resistance to the Cry1F population or Cry1F toxins. Now, in Louisiana, this graph represents the high resistance allele frequency. Louisiana shows a resistance allele frequency to be around 6%, which isn't really high, but it's also not rare. Florida, on the other hand, is showing resistant allele frequencies to be about 25%, which is extremely high. Here's a graph of a field study conducted in Florida in 2013 on corn hybrids containing BT toxins. The HX1 here is a corn hybrid containing only the Cry1F toxin. The other three on the right here are corn hybrids containing STAC genes, BT genes. The three on the left are non-BT, and you see the HX1 is no different from the non-BT, showing some resistance there. The objective of my research is to evaluate the survival of Cry1F resistant and susceptible fall armyworm on cotton cultivars that are currently planted in the United States and those expected to be planted in the near future in cotton production. Tissue to be bioassayed are leaves, squares, blooms, and bowls. And in this presentation, I'm only going to be presenting data on leaf tissue bioassays. Three fall armyworm populations were used in this study. Two known Cry1F resistant fall armyworm colonies collected out of Collier and Hendry counties, as I mentioned before. One Cry1F susceptible fall armyworm colony, and it is called the LSU susceptible, or LSU. Here is a graph showing purified Cry1F toxin diet incorporated bioassays with the Hendry, Collier, and LSU colonies. As you see on the left and in the middle, the Hendry and Collier populations show to be resistant to the Cry1F, and the LSU shows to be susceptible to the toxins. Now, the varieties that I evaluated in my research are Fibermax 966, which is a non-BT, TwinLink, which is Cry1AB and Cry2AE, TwinLink Plus, which is TwinLink with the addition of the VIP3A gene, Deltapine 0912, which is Bolgard 2, containing Cry1AC and Cry2AB, Bolgard 3, which is Bolgard 2 with the addition of VIP3A. But at the time this research was conducted, I did not have access to the Bolgard 3 seed, so this is not in here in my research. Moving on with Widestrike, which is a phytogen 375 containing Cry1AC and Cry1F, and WideStrike 3, which is WideStrike with the addition of VIP-3A as well. Now, all cotton entries were grown in a greenhouse under a controlled environment. Bioassays were conducted by taking a single leaf and placing it in an 8-well bioassay tray, with the bottom of the tray containing auger for moisture for the leaf and the worm. Now, one neonate was placed on each individual leaf that was approximately 24 hours old, and 12 leaves per each treatment and population. I might add that the leaves were collected off of cotton plants from the third node above, below the terminal. Now, once infested, the trays were placed in a growth chamber that was set to approximately 23 degrees Celsius with a 12-12 light-dark photo period. Mortality was recorded at 2, 4, and 7 days after infestation, and data was analyzed using a one-way ANOVA with a Kruskal-Wallis test, and pairwise comparisons were made using a Dunn's multiple comparison test with a p-value of less than 0.05. And here you see just some pictures of what was normally noted at 2, 4, and 7 days after infestation with the live fall armyworms, dead fall armyworms, and also just the tissue damage that was observed on the leaves. Here is my LSU susceptible population tested with all six cotton cultivars. Now, all seem to be susceptible with this population to all varieties containing a BT toxin in them. Now, to the Hendry population, if you note, the very bottom line, which is the bright blue line, is WideStrike, which contains the Cry1F toxin. It is lower than the non-BT variety, which shows that it is resistant to the Cry1F toxin. On the top, you see the TwinLink, TwinLink Plus, and WideStrike 3, which are 100% susceptible to these toxins expressed in these cultivars. The interesting thing I might add here is the Bolgard 2 line right here seems to be lower and even to close to equal to the non-BT line, suggesting a possibility for cross or even multiple resistance with the Cry1F and Cry2AB. Now, the collier population is a little bit different than the Hendry, with the non-BT being the lowest percentage of mortality and the WideStrike being a little bit higher in mortality, but still differing statistically from the non-BT. The rest of them seem to be a little bit higher numerically, but did not differ from the WideStrike variety. But still, it shows that there's possibly a contamination issue with this population, with some heterozygotes in there, and selection is going to be needed to be done in order to come back to this resistance issue. Now, switching gears on over from going from plant from variety by population to population by variety. Now, here's the populations on the non-BT, showing that none of them differed statistically from there, and mortality was extremely low in all three populations. WideStrike, it was a little different. You had a high percent of mortality with the LSU, which was to be expected, and the Hendry, once again, was extremely low, showing resistance, and back to the collier, which is fell somewhere in the middle, showing that the selection is going to be need to be redone in order to get this back to where it is resistant. On to Bolgard 2, you have the high mortality with LSU, low mortality, or I guess you could say intermittent mortality with the Hendry, and high mortality with the collier, suggesting back to the cross or multiple resistance issue as mentioned earlier. To the TwinLink, it shows pretty well control of the Hendry population susceptibility to the Hendry and the LSU and collier as well, which is what we experienced earlier. Now here you have 100% control with all three populations, or 100% susceptibility with all three populations, with TwinLink Plus containing the VIP-3A gene. And WideStrike 3, surprise, surprise, the same exact thing with the VIP-3A gene as well. Now, in summary, the LSU susceptible population was highly susceptible to all BT entries, with the Hendry population appears to be highly resistant to WideStrike cotton and moderately resistant to Bolgard 2, suggesting that Cry2AB may be weak against fall armyworm, and there may possess cross or multiple resistance to Cry1F and 2AB. And I plan on doing a single toxin bioassays with all of these toxins that are expressed in these plants to determine whether or not this is true. And the Collier population responded intermediately between the LSU and the Hendry populations, but was with WideStrike and was sensitive to Bogard too. The population may not be entirely homozygous, and reselection is needed. And we also may have an error in the bioassay somewhere in there. The twin link entry seemed to be moderate to highly toxic to all populations tested, and the WideStrike 3 and twin link plus entries were highly toxic to all populations tested as well. And with that, I'd like to thank Dow AgroSciences, Bayer Crop Science, Monsanto, and Cotton Incorporated for their support and funding. And I'll take any questions at that time.
John, I know you've done some of this work on the mixing of the Texas population. Have you looked at the resistance levels in Texas?
If I may, we're looking at the migration from up through Florida and up through
right.
Texas. And the purported mixing area is Alabama, Georgia. And the wind trajectories seem to support that. It was initially based on the genetics work. And so I think Charles is asking a question about testing in Texas.
I believe Dr. Wong has got some colonies from South Texas and has done some diet incorporated bioassays on them and found a little bit of resistance there, but I just haven't gotten a hold of his populations yet, but I plan on possibly trying to get a hold of some and testing them as well. Any more questions?
All right, we have a couple more minutes for questions, so.
Yes.
How do you think the timing of when the proteins are produced in the plant and when you took the leaves off and all that affected your bioassay?
It can affect them greatly. That's why I decided to put in, and I believe if I'm right, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but with the Dow, with the phytogen varieties, they don't express as much in the terminal. That's why I went down to the third node and pulled the leaves there and just kept it the same. Now, it could be different down towards the base, what I would assume it would be, weaker expression, but when a fall armyworm would lay, you would think that it would lay towards the top of the canopy. I would guess. I've read a little bit of the literature on it, but not a whole lot. So I just picked the third node and ran with it, to be honest with you. Any more questions? Yes.
Do you expect the expression to be different in different parts of the plant?
Yes, I would think so, but that's why I'm going to do it with all four different. I mentioned I was going to do the leaf tissue, square tissue, bloom, and bowl tissue as well. I just haven't gotten enough time and plants, honestly, to do it just yet. But they're in the greenhouse growing right now, and I plan on getting that cranked up as soon as I get home. So.
Have you come across any literature that suggests different in different plant parts?
I haven't read any, no.
All right, we have time for one more question.
All right, thank you.